Parshas Tazria. As we know, the body, the main content in Parshas Tazria is the Parsha of Sarat. But the Torah does not begin this week's Parsha with the beginning of Sarat. The first mitzvah we find, one of the first mitzvahs we find in Sri Sedra, it says, "Ubayoyim ashmini yimoyel besar arlosei." And on the eighth day, one should perform a bris milah on a baby boy. After that, the Torah then launches full scale into discussing the halachas of Tzaraas, and in fact that takes us into next week's Parsha as well, into Parshas Matzeiro. The question is there any connection between the two? Is there a connection between the mitzvah on the one hand of bris milah, and on the other of the halachas of Tzaraas? So it could be that there are many points of connection, but perhaps one could be suggested as follows. We know that Chazal teach us that Tzaraas is the punishment for speaking Lashon Hara, which means that there was a misuse of the Koyach HaPeh. A person is given a mouth to be used for good things and certainly not to talk Lashon Hara. And if his mouth was misused and misappropriated, then the oinish for that is Tzaraas. The common denominator, l'chayra, between mila and Tzaraas, which focuses of course on the mouth, is that we are dealing really with two parts of the guf which one would normally associate with taivas. Person has a lust, person has a taiva for all types of averes, then one would associate these two halakim of the guf with the inyan of taiva. And yet, the Torah is telling us that in fact, that is exactly where we are makayim the most special of all mitzvahs, the mitzvah of bris milah, such that it becomes the opposite, bris kodesh, bris kodesh. So it doesn't just become the source of avera, to the exact contrary, it becomes the simon of kedusha. This is the definitive sign between a yid and a goy, the bris kodesh, it is mole kedusha. So you take that part of the guf which could be misused, and in fact you are male it, you are makadesh it, such that it becomes the bris kodesh. The mouth is exactly the same. The mouth can easily be misused, and that's what the Torah is telling us. If you don't learn the lesson of bris milah, and you're not makadesh those halakim of the guf that need to be miskadesh, then to the contrary, that will be a misappropriation, and they'll become tummy. And that's the whole inyan of Tzaraas. What's the opposite? The opposite is somebody who is indeed mekadesh his mouth. He's mekadesh his mouth. I found the most phenomenal Rabbeinu Ephraim. I didn't actually find it, I heard it. I heard this many years ago from Rav Kirschenbaum. Once gave a shir, and he said the most fascinating thing. I looked it up inside, and there it is. One of the Meforshim al HaTorah is called Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the Rishonim. Interestingly, or more than interestingly, he compares every stage of bris milah to the sacrificing of a korban. He says when you're performing bris milah, to a certain extent, what is happening is a korban. And he goes through every stage and he says, obviously the moel is the shoichet, and the sandik, his knees, are like the mizbeach, and then the dam comes out, that's exactly like a korban. And then he says, we do metitza. Metitza is one sucks with one's mouth, the dam hamila. Which part of the korban does that equate to? Says the Rabbeinu Ephraim, that is equatable to the kabolas hadam b'kli shoris. In the Beis HaMikdash, when you shech the korban, the dam was sprinkled on the mizbeach, but you first had to collect it. How did you collect it? Not in any old kli, in a kli shoris, in a holy vessel that was used in the Beis HaMikdash. Says Rabbeinu Ephraim, that's exactly what's going on in the Metzitza. There too, the dam is being collected in a kli shoris. Where's the kli shoris? The answer is, the mouth is in fact the kli shoris. And I once saw an Eir HaChaim HaKodesh in Parashas Pinchas, who quotes in the name of the Alshech, and he writes as follows, Peh shalom de Torah. the mouth of somebody who learns Torah is kikli shoris, exactly the same words, asher yishorsu bom kibbekoidesh. That which is used in the Beis Hamikdash, the kli, that's the mouth of the loymei Torah. Ki ein kedusha kekedusha satayah. There is no kedusha which is equatable to the kedusha of the Torah, and therefore says the Yerachayim, well, there, therefore osa ledaber boy divrei chayil. Therefore, one should not speak mundane talk. The kol shekain, one shouldn't speak forbidden talk. It turns out, therefore, that when one speaks lashon hara, sheker, rechilus, whatever it may be, besides for the actual aveira, but it's also, as it were, profaning a holy kli. Besides for the aveira of lashon hara, but you're tainting the mouth. The mouth which could become a mokoim of kedusha, could become a klei shoris, and you're doing the exact opposite. That's what the Erechaim HaKadosh says. And in similar vein, the shlo, under the title of shtika, silence. Silence is golden. He says also the very similar words, lo nivra elo liois klei shoris. Same words again, the function of the mouth is to be a klei shoris. What you put in that cliché is Torah and Tefillah. Then he quotes the fascinating Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, in the name of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, had I been there at Sinai, I wasn't, but had I been there at Sinai, I would have suggested and requested that man be created with two mouths. That's what he writes there. A person has two ears, and two nostrils, and two eyes. So presumably he could have had two mouths as well. And he says, I would have submitted a request that man should be created with two mouths. Why? Because the mouth that speaks Divrei Torah, it's inappropriate to use that very same mouth for Divrei Chol. It's a cliché. And yet, we were not given two mouths. Which means it's even more incumbent on us to make sure that we're extra careful what goes in and what goes out the mouth. And by the way, that is the connection, if we're discussing the connection between Mila and Soras, this is really therefore the connection between Parsha Tazria and last week's Parsha, Parsha Shmini. Because what does the Torah talk about at the end of Parsha Shmini? Well, you're not allowed to eat. The Macholei Sasuros, the animals, the fish that you can't eat. So Parsha Shmini tells you how you must be careful what goes in the mouth. And Parsha Tazria tells you have to be careful what comes out the mouth. But either way, the common denominator is the pear has to be treated b'kedusha. It could be used for taivos, for achila, for dibur lashon hara, or it could be niskadish and nisraimin and made into a kli shoris. And that is exactly the same function of the mitzvah of mila. If you look interestingly in Parsha's Matos, there we have another parasha that talks about the Koyach HaDibur. Because what's the first parasha in Parashas Matos? Talks about all the halachas of taking the Dorim, of taking vows. And it says, in the Torah, whatever you say, you must keep. You make a vow, you've got to keep to it. But listen to the words of the Torah, right in the beginning of Parashas Matos. It says, Lo Yachel Devorim. What does the word Yachel mean? From the word chulin, which fits in very well with the theme that we're discussing. The Shemi Shmuel points this out. Lo yachel devore, do not profane your dibur. Remember, where does this dibur come from? It comes from the mouth. How does the pasuk continue? Kachol hayotzei mipiv ya'aseh. Everything that leaves his mouth, you must do. Isn't that a strange way of saying the word speech? Why can't the Torah just say, whatever you said, keep? It doesn't say that. It says, whatever emerged from your mouth, keep. Says the Shem Yishmul, because that's the point. Why is it that what you say is so prominent? Because it emerges from the mouth, and the mouth is the klei shoris. And therefore, if you abuse that, it's lo yachel devore. That is a chilul. That is a chilul. That's like chulin. If you walk into the Beis Hamikdash, and you take the kli shoris and you use it for a cup to make your barbecue with, that's chulin, that's me'ila, that's the opposite of kedusha. Says the Shem Yishmul, exactly the same. If you make a vow, remember that the words that leave your mouth have left the kli shoris, and if you don't keep to them, And that's abusing, that's misappropriating the mouth. And the Sforno in Parshas Metzora indeed says, Hatsoras hi aloshen horuach, loshen hara. Soras is the punishment that comes for talking loshen hara, which he says is which avera? Ma'ila b'kodesh, profaning kedusha. Which kedusha did I profane? The answer is the mouth. The koyach of the pair is the klishoris, and that I think could be a suggestion as to what the connection is, therefore, between the beginning and the end of the parasha. The beginning discusses the union of bris milah. The rest discusses the union of dibur and saras, the common denominator being that these are both halokim of the guf, which can either be made into a mokarim and a trigger of kedusha, bris kodesh, per kodesh, klishores, or the opposite could be true as well. The choice is always ours. A little bit later on in the parasha, in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Ches, when the Torah is talking about the korbonos that the Isha Yoledes has to bring, the woman has given birth, she has to bring korbonos. So the Torah says she has to bring shnei bnei yoina, two doves, echod la'oila, ve'echod lechatos, one for an oila, one for a chatos. That's what the Torah says. Now, if you were reading that pasuk and you would enter the Beis HaMikdash, presumably, what would you assume? That what comes first? The Oila. That's what it says first. It says, Echod la Oila, and only then, Echod la Chatos. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says, in fact, the opposite is true. Rashi's quoting a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Zvachim. Rashi says, it's true that Torah writes la Oila, and then la Chatos. That's the way it's written. It's not actually the way it's performed. In fact, Avol HaKrova, do you know what the order of sacrificing is? Chatos, Koidom, La'Oila. First Chatos, and then Oila. So the question therefore is obvious. If the order in which you sacrifice the Korbanos is first Chatos, and then Oila, well, why indeed does the Torah switch the order? Why does the Torah write first Oila, and then Chatos? The obvious question. So I saw a very, very important explanation, important because it's a very important yesod in Avodas Hashem generally. The Oila, which as its name suggests, is Oila Lashem, goes completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is, as it were, the highest level of Avodas Hashem, completely dedicated to the service of Avodas Hashem. It's not possible, necessarily, when we begin our path in trying to strengthen ourselves in Avodas Hashem, to be at the stage of Oila. Everything dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a preliminary stage, and that's called the Chatos. The Chatos is, first get rid of Aveiros. Sur Meira Va'asei Toiv. First get rid of the evil, and then concentrate on doing the right thing. So even though it's true, the aim of the game, we must all have a she'ifa, we must all have an aspiration to get to the level of Oila, but first comes the Chatos. First comes the Chatos. So I saw this in the name of the Sefer Nachlas Eliezer, which I believe is the Gates of Manal, of Kahan. So he says that therefore explains the contradiction. It's true, in the practical sense, the Chatos comes first, and then the Oila. You can't have the Oila before the Chatos. But when you're sacrificing that Chatos, you must know what the aim of the game is. Soif Maaseh v'machshava tchila. When you begin your project, it's paramount that you know where you're heading. What am I trying to achieve? So the Torah writes in the beginning, Echad la'Oila. Why is that written first? It's true, that's not what sacrifice practically. But that has to be at the top of the paper. This is my project. My project is to get to the stage of Oila. How will I do so? By first sacrificing the Chatos, and then sacrificing the Oila. In other words, what are we being taught about? We're being taught, amongst other things, that a person, using the word over here, has to be an Oila. One climbs, one grows in Avodas Hashem. There are stages in Avodas Hashem. One has to be in a continued state of Aliyah. No jumps, stage by stage. First the Chatos and then the Oila. How long does this process take? Could be 120 years. That's our project here, that's our mission in Olam Hazeh. We once mentioned, maybe last year or 2 years ago, a Medrash. The Medrash says as follows. This is the Medrash right at the beginning of Parashas Noach. Chaviv Moshe Minoach. Moshe is more chaviv, is more precious, is more special than Noach. Why? Look in Parashas Noach. How is Noach referred to in the beginning of the parasha? Noach ish tzadik. Noach ish tzadik, Tomi Moya Bodei Reisav. He has a very, very special title, ish tzadik. Get to the end of the parasha, fast forward. What's he called then? He comes out of the table, ish adomo. He's the man of the earth. That's when he grew the vine, became drunk. What about Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu has a very different journey. In the beginning he's described as the Ish Mitzri. And by the time you get to the end of the Torah, he's described as the Ish Ha'elokim. Therefore, says the Medrash, Moshe is more Chaviv than Noach. What does that mean? What does that mean? So the story is told, the altar of Slobodka. It was noticed that in his yeshiva, the altar of Slobodka, the initial Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, was known as a master mechanech, amongst other things. It was noticed in the yeshiva for seemingly strange reason that there was a bocher there, excellent learner, super duper masmid, lamdan, boki, whatever you want, and for some reason the altar didn't seem to have much of a relationship with him or want to have much of a relationship with him. There was another bocher who was much, much weaker than him in every aspect, and yet the altar seemed to go out of his way to be makar of that boy. So maybe because he needed more help. But they once asked the altar of Slobodka, why is this? This bocher is a super duper high flyer, you could maybe bring him to even further heights, and yet you don't seem to be interested in makar of him. So he explained as follows. He says, what is the Hebrew terminology for afternoon? Bein ho'arbayim. What's Bein Ha'arbayim? From the word evening. It's not yet the evening, but we refer to it as evening. Why is that? Yet, in the beginning of the day, it could be very, very dark, with the first chink of light. Oh, that's Yom. That's Yom! I would think that's more evening-like. It's more dark. Yet, you can have at 12:01, past Chatzos, or Bein Ha'arbayim, heading towards the evening. Why is that called evening? It's broad daylight. So the Altar Slobodka, we refer to this morning, because one, the sun is on its way up, and one, the sun is on its way down. Which direction are you heading? The sun in the morning might be very weak, as it were. Minimal sunlight, but it's heading to a good place. There's a lot of potential, and it's growing and growing and growing. But once it's hit the max, there's only one direction, and it's downhill all the way. We refer to that as evening. Says the Altar of Slobodka, this bocher, who's a super duper high flyer, the problem is, says the Altar, I've noticed that he's not really interested in growing. As far as he's concerned, he's a made man. Well, I'm sorry, if he's not heading up, there's only one direction which he is heading, and that's down. This other bocher may be weaker than him, but he's a big mavakish. He wants to be Oila, stage by stage. That's the bocher that I'm trying to help. Not the bocher who isn't interested in growing. So in Slobodka, in that yeshiva, they said, now we understand the Medrash. Noach may have started with very flowery titles. Noach, Ish, Tzadik, Tomim. But then what happens? It went downhill. Ish Adomo. Moshe Rabbeinu perhaps didn't start with such illustrious titles. He was called the Ish Mitzri. But look where he headed to. He became the Ish Elokim, says the Medrash. If that's the case, Moshe Chaviv Minoach. One is going uphill, one is going, as it were, downhill. When the Rambam famously writes that every single person can be like Moshe Rabbeinu, What does that mean? You actually can't be like Moshe Rabbeinu. There's many suggestions what that means. But according to this, what it means is that we can always be on an upward trend. Whether we reach the heights that Moshe Rabbeinu can reach, that's a different issue. Maybe not, and definitely not, because Moshe Rabbeinu had different klichos to us. But we can, as it were, emulate Moshe Rabbeinu by having this upward trend. Wherever we're up to, we're on the way up, not chas v'shalom on the way down. We've mentioned also, I once read, Leo David, the famous, world famous cellist, Pablo Casals. Is he still alive? Not alive. Apparently he lived a very long life. His 80s, or I think even 90s. He was, I think, generally recognized as the world's greatest cellist. Celloist or cellist?
Cellist.
Cellist. But apparently, Ad Soif Yomov, till the end of his life, he used to practice 6 hours a day. 6 hours a day, he used to practice on his cello. And they once asked him, you know, you're the greatest cellist, they say, that ever lived. So why are you still practicing 6 days? And he answered, because I feel that I'm still improving. We can learn from that. If there's room for improvement till the age of 80 and 90 and further, then it's worth investing 6 hours a day. Maybe not into cello playing, but into other important things. When you think about it, this really is the nature of Klal Yisrael. We once mentioned this, I think also initially, maybe right in the beginning, 6 or 7 or 8 years ago. I'm sure you all remember. In Parshas Toldos, what's the difference between the way Yaakov is born and the way Esav is born? How is Esav born? What does the word Esav mean? Esav means made. In fact, Chazal tells us when he was born, he had the body of an adult, which represented I'm a made man. I'm not trying to grow. How does Yaakov come out? Yaakov is born Yodoy Echezes Ba'akev Esav. His hand is trying to clutch more. That represents the Musag of Aliyah. Whatever I have is not enough. I'm always trying to strive for more. We are the Bnei Yaakov. What does the word Ekev mean? Ekev is the heels, right at the bottom. That's the way we view ourselves in Ruchnius. I'm not at the top. I'm at the bottom. We are the Bnei Yaakov. We're the Bnei Yisrael. That's our nature, to be an Oyla. All of a sudden, you fast forward to Parshas Vayishlach, and Yaakov sends all the gifts to Esav. What does Esav say? It's okay. Yeshli roiv. And how does Yaakov respond? Yeshli koil. 1 second. The same Yaakov who is Yodoy Echezes is trying to clutch more, and here he says, Yeshli koil. The answer is it Gashmis or Ruchnis? Remember what Chazal say? There was a struggle in the womb of Rivka. The Beis Avodah Zarah, the Beis HaMedrash, they weren't discussing Gashmias there, they were discussing Ruchnias. So Yaakov emerges, Yodoy Echezes, I'm trying to clutch more and more and more. Gashmias! Yeshli Koel, I'm done. I'm the Esav of Gashmias. Esav says the exact opposite. When it comes to Ruchnias, Esav, Osu, I'm made. When it comes to Gashmias, oh, Yeshli what do you have? Roiv. Not everything, most. I'm well on the way, but I'm not there yet. That's the difference between Esav and Yaakov. We've just come from Purim. Homon. Where is the remez of Homon in the Torah? Hamin ha'etz hazeh, the Gemara tells us in Chulin. What on earth has that got to do with Homon? It says in Gan Eden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you can have whatever you like. Hamin ha'etz hazeh, don't eat. So Hamin is the letters of Homon. Sounds very tenuous. I once heard the explanation is this. Homon had 127 states all bowing down from him. All bowing down. One Yid refused to bow down, Mordechai. What does he say? V'kol zeh einenu shover li. None of it is worth it. What do you mean? It's a good day in the office, 99.9999%. That's a good score in the test. No, it's not worth anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam, Adam, you can have everything! Just hamin ha'etz hazeh, one tree you can't have. And that's where he fell down. That's exactly the same middle as Haman. We have to use that same middle also for Ruchnius. This same outlook on life. Kol zeh einenu shoveli. This is not enough. I haven't got enough. I haven't got enough. I'm looking for more. I'm looking for more. Liyodorei Heves. I've got a lot. It's only right. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz related that he once went to visit the yeshiva in Novardok of his uncle, Avraham Yachin. And he asked the Rosh Hashiva, he said, show me the best bocha in the yeshiva. So he pointed at that bocha. See that bocha? Best bocha. What do you mean? Biggest boki. Biggest boki in the yeshiva. So he says, fine, show me the biggest masmid in the yeshiva. Oh, masmid? That bocha. Show me the biggest lamdan. Biggest lamdan? A third bocha. Show me the biggest Yerushalayim. A fourth bocha. So he asked Rosh Hashiva, so who is it then? So who is the best bocha? Ah, you want to know who the best bocher is? He showed him another bocher. He just told me he's the biggest masnis, he's the biggest lamdan, he's the biggest boki, he's the biggest yerushalayim, and he told me, but the fifth bocher, he's the best of the lot. So what is he? The boki, lamdan, yerushalayim, masnis? No, he's something else at the Rosh Hashiva. He's the biggest mavakish in the yeshiva. A mavakish. What does a mavakish mean? He's always searching for more. He really is the best bocher in yeshiva. Whether it's biggest masnid, biggest lamdan, it may well be, that's irrelevant. He's the biggest mavakish. That bocher was none other than the cyclist. That bocher was Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Kanievsky, the father of the Havdol ben Chaim L'Chaim of Chaim Kanievsky. The idea of being mavakish, to be an oiler. And that's what we're being taught over here. It's true. Practically, there's the chatos and the oiler, but you have to know where you're heading. You're heading towards the oiler by continuously growing towards that. But we're also being taught at the same stage another very important point, and with this we'll finish. That in order to grow in Avodas Hashem, one cannot do it by leaps and bounds, rather in stages, and that's what we're being told. You want to get to this, Oila, that's wonderful, stage by stage. First the Chatos, you're not there yet. It's wonderful that you have this project in mind. The Oilers at the top of the page, that's what I want to be, a life dedicated to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to live the life of the Oiler. But you're not there yet. So don't pretend that you're there yet. The key to being a Ben Aliyah is to know where am I holding at the moment, and accordingly try and improve, but not by leaps and bounds. Rabbi Rucham, the Mir Mashkiach, once said a very startling thing. Very surprising thing. He said, I give a Musa Shmuz in the Meir Yeshiva, he said. If any Bocha, he said, following my Shmuz, goes immediately to Daven Mariv and tells me that he davened a better Mariv as a result, then he obviously didn't understand one word of my Shmuz. What do you mean by that? I would have thought the contrary. Person who doesn't have a better marriage, obviously he was busy with other things. He didn't understand the Shmuz. Rabbi Rucham said the opposite. What he meant was, Rabbi Rucham says, I'm trying to, when I teach you, and I'm giving you a Shmuz, I'm giving you food for thought. I'm giving you an idea to toy with, to work with, to develop. It's not a little injection. Something on a high and a 7.5 hour marriage. It's something which is going to be a process. An idea, Torah, Yerushalayim, Tfilah, Midas, Yom Niroyim, Yom Tov, whatever it may be. Something for you to think about and to grow gradually. It's not instantaneous. And if you think it is instantaneous, then that's not the point of my whole shmuz. We just mentioned actually this morning, our dear friend Michael Goffman once told me, very beautiful thoughts. So why is it that when you go up to the Mizbeach, there are no stairs? There's no steps, but rather, there's a kevesh, there's a ramp. So he says, very beautifully, the Mizbeach denotes the union of Avodah. Service of Korbonos, our service to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's the difference between steps and a ramp? There are two differences, he says. One is, which is not our union at the moment, but it's also true, unlike a step on a ramp, there's no such thing as being static or stationary. You're either going up or down. Whereas a step, you can go up the step and then set up your tent there and stay there for the rest of your life. But what he also said was, and this is negeh to what we're talking about, is if you go up a step, then you have to go up by however tall the step is. So if they've decided to build a step at the height of 20 centimeters, then 19 centimeters jump is not going to get you there. Because it's been dictated to you how much you have to climb. But a ramp, you can go up in increments. You can go up in a millimeter as well. And then another millimeter, and another. No leaps and bounds. Steps, you need to jump up suddenly. Because otherwise you won't get to the next step. That's what Avodas Hashem is all about. To be a proper Ben Aliyah, one has to understand that it's a process. You know, they say this joke, but like every joke, has a bit of Musa in it as well. A poor man knocks on somebody's door and says, you know, he heard he's a big Baal Musa, a big Avodas Hamidus, so maybe you can help me, I'm sure he's a big Baal Chesed. So he knocks on his door and says, maybe, you know, I'm in a desperate situation, maybe you can help me. He says, oh, what a shame you came this week. He says, what do you mean? He says, last week I was really working on the middle of Chesed, but this week I'm working on a different middle now. Why is that a joke? Because if you work on last week middle of Chesed, and this week something else, and next week the third thing, what will you have left at the end of the day? Nothing. It's a process. One doesn't become a Baal Chesed overnight or even in a week. Oh, last week Chesed, now I've got a different project. To become a Baal Chesed could be a 100-year project, bit by bit, increment by increment. I'll just finish off with one line. We said also this morning that this is one of the greatest tricks of the Yetzer Hara. Imagine a person decides, right, I'm a Ben Aliyah, I want to grow in my Ruchnis, I'm going to take, for example, Tfilah as a project. I'm not satisfied with the way I'm davening at the moment. Kol zein en shoveli. It's not good enough for me. I don't concentrate in davening and I daydream and I don't know the word. Fine. So what does the Yetzer Hara do? First thing is the Yetzer Hara fights back. Why do you need to work on tefillah? It's not so important. You're doing other good things. And anyway, the way you daven is pretty good anyway. And even if it's not, other people are not much worse than you. And he sees that you're stubborn. No, I'm determined. So all of a sudden, you know what he does? He switches clothing. And the Yetzer Hara disguises himself and approaches you dressed up as the Yetzer HaTov. It's the same old Yetzer Hara, just trying a different game now. And you know what he says? It's a wonderful thing to mischazek and tefillah. It's very, very, and it's true. The way you're davening is not good enough. He's singing a different song now. 5 minutes ago he's trying to convince you that your davening is fine, but he sees it's not working. So he says to you, true, you have mischazek and tefillah, but he says, 1 second. You're a big Ben Aliyah. Don't just take one bracha. Two brachas and Shmona Esrei. Minimum 10. Minimum. Anything less than that is not worth it. It's pasnish for you. So when you're listening to that, what do you think to yourself? Wow, look at the Yetzer HaTov. Look what a tzaddik I am. I've decided I'm going to go for it. 10 brachas improvement every day. It's the Yetzer Hara trying to push you to grow in leaps and bounds. Why? Because he knows you'll never get 10, and that way you'll never get 1 either. The real Yetzer HaTov says, 1 bracha at a time. How long for? As long as you feel it takes. Then you can move on to the second and the third and the fourth. I want to improve my learning. I'm only learning 10 minutes a day. I'm only learning 1 hour a day. I want to learn more. So what does Yetzer Hara say? 5 hours is fine. Why do you need to learn more? Anyway, you're very busy and you're doing good things and other people are also learning. He sees he's getting nowhere, so he switches disguise. You're right, you should learn more. 1 hour is not good enough. 5 hours minimum. 3 hours? 3 hours is nothing. 5 hours! He knows 5 hours is not going to last. What will you end up with? Less than the initial hour that you had in the first place. So I read one line, well, this will finish. There's a sefer called Tipsei Chaim Rav Chaim Friedlander, who's my Izbadim. So interestingly, they printed there, and I assume they must have had the permission of the family, they discovered after he passed away, notebooks of his, in which he wrote whatever he was makabal on himself every year, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. All his personal kabbalists. And obviously they felt it was l'te'eles to print them, which indeed it is. On one of those I saw in the Sefer, he writes as follows. Talks about the middah of atzlus, being lazy. And he says, I need to mischazik in the middah of atzlus. You can be rest assured that we wouldn't mind being as lazy as he was. Say that he was the mashkiach of Ponovich Yeshiva, but He clearly felt that he needed a chizuk in the middle. Atzlus, he perhaps on his level considered himself perhaps too lazy and wanted a chizuk. So he writes there, Hareini makabel alai bli neza. I'm a makabel on myself. Lot says mehayim v'hala. From now on, the milchama chazaka, big war, big battle, big fight to try and improve in the middle of Atzlus. And I'm going to work with all my koyach and all my seichel. Neged, the middle of Atzlus. I'm going to try and think of everything. Madrega acha madrega. And then he writes in conclusion. Ukemuvon, he says, obviously, shezeh lo yale b'yodi. This is not going to work for me. Loi b'yomim achodim, not in a few days. V'gam loi b'shvuos achodim. Neither will it be a project of just a few weeks. Elo. Rak alidei avoido memusheches, ongoing work, umeumetzes, strong work, shel chadoshim v'shonim, months and years. That's what we're saying tonight. This is the Ponovitch Mashiach, on his high level of what he considered atzlus. He says, I know, I'm going to put in all my effort. I know this won't be a project of days or weeks, but rather extended, prolonged, hard work invested for months and for years. So when we see the Yetzer HaTov, just check out that it really is the Yetzer HaTov, because it could be the Yetzer Hara dressed up. And that's what we're being taught in this week's parasha. Echot Chatos Oila. It's true the Oila is written first, because that's the project title, that's where I'm trying to get to. I'm not here yet. First is the Chatos, says Rashi, and that's what the Gemara is teaching us. That's the way it's written, but it's not the way that it's carried out practically. One has to be an Oiler. One has to be a Yaakov, a Yodo Yecheses, a Moshe Rabbeinu, always on the up. We have to learn from Esav, as it were, and Homon. They had it for Gashmias, we will have it for Ruchnias. This is not enough for me, I'm trying to grow, I'm trying to be like the stipler, a constant Levakish. But within reason. No jumps. There's no stairs to Avodas Hashem. There's a kevesh to Avodas Hashem. There's a ramp in which one has to know. If one is not growing, one is definitely falling. But when one is growing, one grows in increments. Stage by stage, bit by bit. We don't take a little injection and become the overnight super duper world's greatest davna, or learner, or Baal Chesed, or Baal Midas, whatever it takes. It's a life's project. And if Rav Chaim Friedland said that on his one particular midi he believes it's a lifetime project of months and years, then we can be rest assured that by us it's the same as well. The key is not to give up, but to continue on an upward trend, make sure we're climbing and climbing that kevesh. We overcome the chatos, and then eventually, Be'ez Hashem, we get to a level of an oila, which is the ultimate level of Avodas Hashem.